السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم محمد بن عبد الله. على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين. This is the dua of the 24th of the month of Ramadan by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك فيه ما يرضيك وأعوذ بك مما يؤذيك وأسألك التوفيق فيه لأن أطيعك ولا أعصيك يا جواد السائلين. In this universe, there is certain laws and regulations. There are laws and regulations that govern the cosmos system, the universe, the entire universe. And one of these laws is known as al-illatu wal-ma'lul, as-sababu wal-musabbab, the cause and the effect. The cause and the effect. Every motion in this universe has a cause, has a reason, has a generator. And the ultimate cause in this universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تنتهي إليه كل علة. All these minor causes, they end with the Lord. He is the generator of all these reasons and causes that he creates results and effects in this universe. An important foundation of our religion is Tawheed. Monotheism. The most important foundation in Islam is Tawheed. And an important item in this Tawheed is At-Tawheed al-Af'ali, the unity of the deeds. And I shared this with you here many times, the meaning of the unity of the deeds. What does it mean? We have to believe in the unity of the deeds, Tawheed al-Af'al. Tawheed al-Af'al, it says, لا مؤثر في الكون في الوجود إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. سوى الله. The only effective power in this universe is God. The only cause is God in this universe. However, His effect and His influence reach us through agents. God has agents. God created agents. When we say God is behind anything that happens, it does not necessarily, and this is very important point here, it doesn't necessarily mean that He is the executor of that event or that motion that takes place. He has agents who work for him. And these agents, we call them asbab. Asbab, and they are mentioned in the Quran, causes that belongs to the main cause, which is God. Without his permission, without his leave, without his authorization, these minor causes cannot function. They function only when they receive the green light from Him, the main cause, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, the cave, named the cave because in the beginning of it, you hear the story of the companions of the cave. Interesting story. But then towards the end of this chapter, there is another interesting story of a man. The Quran names him Dhul Qarnayn, the person of the two horns, Now why he's called two horns, there are different theories. The more realistic among them, the more realistic among them is that he would wear a helmet which had two horns at its two sides, two ends. Some commentators believe that his head had two horns, but this is not true. We cannot believe this, you know, these fictions. The most appropriate interpretation is that he would wear a helmet that had two horns. Now, some people believe, some commentators of the Quran, exegists, mufassirin, they believe that this man, Dhul-Qarnayn, he was a prophet. Others, they say, no, he was not a prophet of God. He was a righteous person, insanun salih. Others say he was an angel. Another group say he's the Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, the world-famous Alexander, who was born in Macedonia, in Europe, northern Greece. I visited Macedonia 2 months ago, and they have statues of Alexander the Great in the capital and in other cities. So they say he was the Alexander the Great. Other, they say, no, he was the Persian king, Cyrus. So there are many interpretations here. It doesn't matter what he was. The Quran says he was a good servant of God. He was very helpful to people. He would travel to the east and the west, traverses long distances to lend his help to people who needed help. And he would always guide people to the right path. The Jews in Medina, when the Prophet came, or in Mecca also, they asked the Arabs, they wanted to verify the authenticity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to examine him and see whether this is an authentic prophet or a counterfeit. So they said to the Arabs, the pagans in Mecca, they said to them, go to Muhammad, this man who says, I'm the messenger of God, and ask him these questions. If he knows the answer, it means he's the messenger of God. But if he doesn't know the answer, it means he's not a real prophet. So among these questions, there were many. Among them, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ. They ask you, O Muhammad, about this man, ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ, the man who had two horns. And the Prophet said, I will give you the right answer. Although the Prophet has not seen him, and at that time still Google did not exist at that time, neither the Silicon Valley. So he could not Google. Nowadays people ask me, I tell them, okay, wait a minute. Tick, 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 tick. I give them the answer. Any answer today, you find it on this device, small device. You can retrieve it. But at that time, the Google of the Prophet was someone called Jibreel, alayhi salam. Jibreel would bring the Prophet with the right answer from Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. Lawh al-Mahfuz, God has his personal power book. Today we have power book. God also has power book, but it's very huge and very vast. Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet that has every bit of information. So Jibreel would retrieve the information from there and bring it down to the Prophet. So the Prophet told them the story of this man, Dhul-Qarnayn. Now, what is important here, Allah says, "Inna makkanna lahu fil ardh." We have established him firmly on earth. Meaning, we have empowered him with knowledge, empowered him with physical might, empowered him with guidance. So he has been empowered by God. Inna makkanna lahu fil ardh. Plus, wa'ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. And we provided him with every means to execute his duties. And then فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا, he would follow these means. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. What does that mean? It means that every effect in this life has a cause, has sabab, has a reason. Nothing is without cause. Nothing can create itself by itself. It has to be generated by something else. And who is behind that something else, that power? God is the ultimate power. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. In this life, life is based on cause and effect. And you have millions of examples. If you want knowledge, can you just go to bed and ask God, oh lovely God, I want to wake up at 7 a.m. and I am knowledgeable. God says, sorry, I can't do this. If you want to be knowledgeable, you have to go to school. You have to wake up in the morning, be serious, go to school, study, read, do your homework, then you learn. Then I will give you knowledge. Or if you are sick and you don't want to go to a doctor, and then you tell God, oh God, I'm going to go to bed tonight, so please in the morning, I want to find myself healthy. Again, God will say, I'm sorry. You have to go to the doctor. You have to get the medicine. You have to follow his prescriptions, his instructions. And then I will put the healing, the blessing in that medicine. You want to have a family, but without getting married. That does not happen. You want to have children without having a wife or without having a husband. God says, I'm sorry. You need to have children. You have to go and get married. Be a responsible father. Be a hardworking person. Be a good mother. Then I will bestow children and good family on you. You want money, but you don't want to work. God says, I'm sorry, I have the money. The money is there. But I'm not going to give you the money free. I need to see you working, struggling, working very hard. I will send you the money. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. In this universe, everything has a cause and has a reason. And the ultimate reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same way that this cause and effect works in the material and physical realm, it does also work in the spiritual and the moral realm. How is that? Guidance from God. How does it happen? It happens by doing nothing? It doesn't happen by doing nothing. Guidance, you have to seek guidance. You have to seek it. You have to ask God. You have to be serious about it. You have to go after it. You have to spend time. You have to spend money. You have to spend energy. You have to spend efforts to be guided. Doesn't come free. Doesn't come free. If you don't go after it, guidance would not come to you. But God says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, if you seek guidance, I will help you. I will send it to you. I will send it to you. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا هَيَّأَ أَسْبَابَهُ. When Allah wants, is determined to accomplish something through you, through us, the people, He will provide you with the means, the asbab. He will provide you. He will facilitate the journey for you. If God loves someone because that person has a good character and good heart and good intention, so God wants to guide that person, He will facilitate the journey for him or her, make it easy. He would remove the obstacles. And that person is going to be guided. Because God wants him to be guided. And if God hates someone because he rejects the truth, he's stubborn, he's selfish, he doesn't like himself, neither people around him. And God keeps calling on him, inviting him, and he keeps rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. One day God says, okay, I'm not going to help you anymore. You go and help yourself. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. If God determines that I am going to withdraw my help from this person, no other power in this universe can help that person. No other power. So when God decides to guide, He provides the means of guidance. I'll give you an example. Someone who's searching for the truth, always brainstorming how to find the truth. I'm serious about it. If I find it, I'll follow it. God brings someone in His way, in her way, to invite her to the mosque, to the Islamic center, to the book, to the learning session, to the Quranic class, to this, to that. God facilitates the journey. Out of the blue, someone comes and says, I'll take you today. Come with me. Read this book. Listen to this lecture. God facilitates the journey because God wants that person to be guided. He will create, He will provide means of guidance. In Surah Maryam chapter 19, a beautiful chapter. The whole Quran is a beautiful. Tell me, what chapter is not a beautiful? When I read Quran in Ramadan, I come to this chapter, I say, well, this is my favorite. I finish it, I go to the next, this is my favorite. I go to the other one, this is my favorite. The entire Quran is a beautiful, but we don't appreciate that, unfortunately. We don't pay attention. We don't spend time with the Quran. We spend time on for television and for the computer and for stories and fairy tales and movies. But when it comes to the Quran, we abandon the Quran. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The Prophet says, my community, they have abandoned this book. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Surely, those who have faith in God and perform righteous deeds, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. God is going to create love for them in the hearts of the community. Those who observe these two prerequisites, conditions. One, faith in God. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who have a true faith in God. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they perform righteous deeds. Good deeds. Because faith without good deeds does not function. Faith has to be coupled and joined and accompanied always by good deeds. Good deeds are the fruits of faith. سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. God will create love for them in the heart of others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, when God, when someone is sincere, God is going to love that person. Yes, God falls in love with His righteous servants, with the true servants, with those who are noble, with those who are helpful, with those who sacrifice, with those who work hard to protect their communities, their societies, the human being. And if God falls in love with someone, He asks Jibreel to fall in love for that person. And Jibreel is going to ask the angels to fall in love. And then He's going to give orders to the community of the believers here to love that person. To love that person. So the community of the believers, the good people, the noble people, the righteous people, are going to love that person too. He's not going to be beloved by all. The shayateen are not going to love him. Only the righteous are going to love him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Alamatu hubbillahi ta'ala," the sign that God loves you is when the righteous people love you. If you feel that the righteous in your community, they love you, this means that God does love you. There is a correlation between them. Between the love of God and the love of the righteous. There is no separation. There is no contradiction between them. How do you know that God loves you? A sign, one of the signs, is that the righteous and the pious, not the shayateen, huh? Because some people are, I know a person today, maybe 100 million people love him. And maybe they will vote for him too. Maybe. I'm speaking about the righteous. Those who love God. Those who have the love and the fear of God in their hearts. This is a good sign. And therefore, the Prophet said this ayah, one of the manifestations of this verse, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ, is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلْ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Surely those who have faith and perform good deeds, God is going to create in the heart of others love for them. And the best example of that is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the Prophet himself said about Imam Ali, يَا عَلِي لَا يُحِبُّكَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنْ وَلَا يَبْغَضُكَ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ. This hadith has been accepted by all Muslims. All Muslims agree upon this hadith. The Prophet said to Imam Ali, O Ali, every righteous believer shall love you and every hypocrite would hate you. Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet, and Habrul Ummah, the most distinguished scholar, Habrul Ummah. Ibn Abbas, the biggest mufassir of the Quran, the one who translates the Quran for us. He says, كُنَّا نَعْرِفُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ بِبُغْضِهِمْ لِعَلِي ibn Abi Talib. We would identify the hypocrites during the time of the Prophet. How do we identify them? When we see them hating Ali, we know the one who hates Ali is a hypocrite. بِبُغْضِهِمْ لِعَلِي ibn Abi Talib. And today, if you want to see a hypocrite, you can apply the same test to that person. People who love the Prophet and his family, in particular Ali ibn Abi Talib, they are truly righteous. So this is an example of that. The dua here says, Allahumma inni as'aluka fihi ma yurdhik. O my Lord, enable me in this day, during the month of Ramadan, to do whatever satisfies you, not me. Because sometimes our satisfaction is not a good example. Sometimes we become selfish, sometimes. Because we are humans and we love ourselves. So try not to satisfy yourself, try to satisfy your Lord. Your Lord. This is important. Because God is a neutral. God is not selfish. God is the God of all. God has no preferred race or gender or class or caste or zip code or country or neighborhood or even language. God is the love of all mankind. He treats them equal. We discriminate. We people, because we have passion and emotion, and sometimes we don't use our reason. We use our passion. Sometimes we misjudge and we misbehave and we discriminate, but God never discriminates. So ask Him to enable you to do what makes Him happy, not necessarily you, what makes Him happy. And if you are a good servant of God, definitely what's going to make God happy, it is going to make you happy too. And then of course, when Allah provides us with these means, sometimes people ask, why such and such are not guided? Why they are misguided? Why they are far from God? Where is God here? Why doesn't He invite them? God does invite. God does invite, but some people accept the invitation and some people decline. God always invites, believe me. But some people, because of their arrogance, some people because of their pride. Some people, because of their ignorance, they reject the invitations. They keep rejecting it. So when the opportunity comes to you, you have to accept it. Do not reject it. Don't reject it and then say, God did not help me. God did help you. You declined. I know some kids, they complain about their parents. Our parents do not help us. But when you investigate, you find parents are always there, helpful. But the children, they are arrogant. They keep declining, and then they blame it on their parents, and we do the same with God. So when it comes, we have to embrace it. سئل الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام بأي شيء يعلم المؤمن أنه مؤمن. Our sixth Imam was asked, how does a believer, a mu'min, knows that he's a believer? He's a mu'min. Listen to the answer. The answer is, قَالَ بِالتَّسْلِيمِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. He knows that he's a true believer when he surrenders to God. Surrenders, تَسْلِيم. وَالرِّضَى فِيمَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ. Rida, acceptance of whatever God has ordained for you. God has ordained that you lose your business. You say, okay, I accept that. You lose your son, you lose your house, you lose your wife, you lose your health sometimes. You don't complain. You don't complain. You say, I'm sorry. But I say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. God has given me. One day, Musa was asking God, Moses, the prophet of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, he kept asking God, oh God, please show me someone that you really love very much. God said to him, okay, go to a such and such place, you will find a person sitting there. He went there, he saw a man sitting in the road, on the side of the road, homeless man. Musa thought that he's going to go to someone who's doing prayers, fasting, Allah, Allah, Allah. The guy was sitting and he did nothing. So he was amazed. How come this guy, God loves him? And then God wanted to show him why he loves this person. He got close to him. He found that the guy is blind. He's blind. He can't see. So he said to him, how are you? He said, I'm fine. He said that you are blind. He said, yes, I am blind. God has given me eyes for so many years. And now he decided that the gift I have given you for so many years, I want to retrieve it back. I said, okay to God. Al-Ridha, Taslim, surrenderance. Surrenderance, because we do not know what is good for us. Believe me, we don't know. Sometimes, وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَبْطَأَ عَنِّي. This is what we recite for 30 nights in Ramadan. Dua al-Iftitah, we just finished it on the screen. Part of it, وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَبْطَأَ عَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. Sometimes there is some shortcomings, deficiencies, loss. I think this is bad for me, but it is not bad. Allah says this is good for you. I've chosen what is good for you. So accept that. So how does a mu'min know he's a mu'min? بالتسليم لله. When he surrenders to God. وَالرِّضَى فِيمَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُرُورٍ أَوْ سَخَطٍ. Whatever God has ordained for you, whether it is happiness or sadness, you have to accept. And then, before I conclude, how do we know that God is okay with some people? He's happy with them. It's very tough. The hadith I'm going to read is very tough. You know what the Prophet says? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, علامة رضا الله في خلقه. The sign that God is happy with certain community, he's happy with them, he's satisfied, he's okay with them. عدل سلطانهم ورخص أسعارهم. Two signs. If the government is a just government and the prices are okay, there is no inflation. What does that mean? It means the opposite. If the opposite happens, then God is not okay with those people. The opposite of that, if there is a tyrant ruling in a community and there is an inflation, very expensive, unaffordable, this means that God is unhappy with that community. And don't blame it on God here, because God says, your government is the product of your own deeds. كَيْفَمَا تَكُونُوا يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. Whatever you are and your character is, your ruler is going to match your character. This is why America has a test in November, a huge test. If they choose someone terrible, it means they are matching. He's matching their character. If they choose someone responsible, it means their character is responsible. It's a test. It's a test. Allahumma akhfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at innaka mahis sayyi'at wa ja'ilaha hasanat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir wa ajjil allahumma fi faraj sayyidina ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد